kulang ng in-season.
Welcome to the Shady Podcast. I'm the Shady Lurker. You know the story. My co-host, PH. His name is in podcast. I mean, come on. We've been doing this for a while now. However, he's not in today, so I'm holding it down, and I'm joined by the beautiful, acclaimed, awarded, board member, comrade and associate here. Nwabisa is in the house. Nwabisa, I'm sorry. PH was supposed to be here, but because he's not, we're not even interviewing you. You are now the co-host. Please, where do we start?
Thank you,
today?
Thank you. I take my hosting duties with absolute pleasure.
With absolute pleasure. This place is like that. Eh? You'll rock up here and it'll just be a movie, like uninterrupted.
I'm ready. Yes. I'm ready, Waras.
So, Nwabisa, please, just give us a small informal, who are you? Because what I will tell people is, you know, when you're wondering, these are tweets I get all the time where people are like, yo, open up the industry. And I, you know, for the past 10 years, I've been getting that question and I reply to them all the same way. I say, guys, I'm not the one you should be talking to. Nwabisa is the one you should be talking to. You actually run Open Up the Industry. Am I right?
Yeah, in a way.
Okay. Yes. So it's your fault that people are not getting on.
Today we'll explain why.
Why?
Exactly.
It's because you're not talented. You don't make the cut. You don't have what it takes.
Well, give them the tips.
Yes. Well, Open Up the Industry is a broad description. But essentially, you are the person that sort of, you sit in that seat where you are fortunate enough to see what's out there and where you can plug certain things. Am I right? What does the job actually entail?
A lot of things, but essentially...
you take bribes. I knew it.
My mom would be watching. So I'm a content strategist, right? So I'm the person in the background who says, this is the type of content that would work for this channel. This is the type of content that should be removed for this channel. So this is how you make a channel better. This is the type of content you need in order to change the dynamics of the channel.
Yeah, okay. Well, what channels are we talking about?
Well, now I've opened my own company, so I'm consulting. So now I consult across the continent, you know, for different channels, international as well as local.
Okay.
But before my current state, I used to work for E-MultiChoice.
Oh, dope. One of the big ones.
Yeah. For 13 years. 13 years. I started as an intern. And then I left last year. I was the director for the MultiChoice Talent Factory. So 13 years, was it 14 years? You know? Yeah, 13 years of working on content. Yeah. Building channels.
The Talent Factory sounds like, what is that? Like an internship program? Like a skills development, talent development?
Correct. So what we saw was that we've got a lot of filmmakers coming into the industry.
Okay, because I was going to ask, when you say talent factory for presenters?
No.
Okay.
Filmmakers. Okay. So your crew, the guys behind the camera.
Ah, it's not my department. Okay.
But then you'd see that, okay, look, we've got a lot of these guys coming into the industry, but the level at which they're operating is not where we'd like them to be. Because think now, E-MultiChoice started competing with Netflix, the Amazons, Apple TV, you know, and these guys are operating at a 10-year plus
advantage.
Yeah, well, so now we've got our guys and we need to upskill them across the continent. So we had a huge issue. Ugoti, these guys know TV, they're passionate about TV, but the level at which they're operating, there's a big gap to where the industry has to go to.
Yes, but is it because they are under-resourced? Is it because they're not using the same cameras? What causes that?
Yonke. All the above. And also because... But remember, also, Uguti, you are being trained by people who worked at the SABC, for example. I'm not picking on the SABC, right? I love the SABC. Who have been working at the SABC for 20 plus years.
Yes.
Right? And they're not using the latest equipment. They're not using the latest tricks.
At the SABC, I used to work there for about I think I started at the SABC in 2012, but I wasn't based there.
Yeah.
2014, I was based at the SABC because I worked at 5FM. So what I would often do is when I went into the radio station, I would pop across the road to the TV side to go and check my bosses and the people that I worked with, right? For the TV show, for Live Amp.
Yeah.
There's a floor at the SABC. I think it was the third floor or the fourth floor. And if you don't know about it, you wouldn't know. There's just equipment there. Mm-hmm. That's where, like, you know, the broadcast studios for SABC News are and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of equipment. Might not be the latest equipment, but it's like the last number of the day. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know those cameras that are like this
size? Massive ones.
That's it. And I was like, this whole thing is happening here. I've been here for 4 years. I didn't even know that we've got it. So there's a need to evolve and there's a need to, you know, you're competing with someone who's filming with an iPhone.
Exactly.
But because they've got the latest technology on their side, you know, it's chalk and cheese.
And if you think about it, Warasne, in production, people work a lot. They work overnight. You know, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When do you have the time to go upskill yourself? You know, you're working with the team that you used to. You're not getting new people coming in from the US, from the UK to say, guys, this is the new technology we have and train you on that.
Yes.
So that was one of the key things that we started doing to say we get the best guys, you know, production designers, guys who worked on Spider-Man, you know, to say come through, teach these guys and upskill them.
Because you've worked at the highest level.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So if you think of it, I always make the example for people to see how far back we are.
Yes.
Not back, but, you know, behind.
Go and watch my piano music video.
No, not even. If you think of, what is that movie with the green people?
The green people? Hulk. Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, you can use Smurfs. Hulk if you want.
Avatar.
Avatar.
Yes.
Right?
With the blue people.
Blue people, exactly. Sorry. So,
yeah,
do
blue
you
people,
think
please
that...
don't be racist. Yeah. This is not a racist show. We see green, you, Avatar, blue. You are blue people.
Yeah, blue people. Would we be able here in South Africa to produce something like that?
On that level, yeah.
On that level, right? The majority of our filmmakers and our producers would not be able to produce the Avatar. And that came out, what, 15 plus years ago?
Years ago, yeah, part one.
So do you see the gap?
And in that time, we brought out... What was the movie with the aliens?
Oh,
District
yes, the
9.
One with District 9. Yeah. And it won a...
Yes, it won something.
Yes.
And it had like the whole cast of Isidingo in it. Both Duplessis and them. But I mean, for us at the time, District 9 was like, wow. And it was. It was
and
quite
it still
good.
Is.
Those aliens, yeah, those aliens were like really realistic.
You should watch it again. It really
it was
impressive.
Yeah, it was not bad, is my point. It kind of like put us on the map to say, yo... We are here now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In my opinion.
But you need the budgets in order to keep producing stuff at that level.
100%. Yeah.
That we don't have.
Yeah. A few years ago, I think last year, December, I also have a security company.
Oh,
so from time to time, we do like some bodyguarding work and got a call from these guys and they're like, yo, we got your number from Mang Mang. We're looking for bodyguards. We in the country... I think they was here for 10 days or whatever. They gave the whole brief. They're like, no, we're going to Cape Town for 6 days. But for 4 days, we're in Johannesburg. We've got some meetings. They didn't like disclose, you know. Came here. They were staying at an expensive hotel. Life was gumnandi, sharp. The meetings they were having at Showmax. These guys came from, they were dudes who also produced a show, I think, on Amazon. So they were like big dogs, you know, in the space. And one of the things we were chatting about, because obviously, like, as I got used to the guys, he was saying to me that, you know, there's so much talent here in terms of, like, there's credible people who can do the stuff that you need to be doing. But because we are not unique in terms of, you know, we're not coming with unique ideas. It's not like our ideas are better than yours, but we're so used to working at this level because of the stuff we produce in the States. That when we come here, it's nothing for us. But you've got guys here that are fully capable, but there's no money. There's no kind of like that appetite to say, here's a million. Instead of saying here's a million, you need someone who's going to say, here's 100 million.
Yeah.
You know, make it happen. It's the quickest way to get on. And his argument was like, you know, you've got to suffer now. Someone's got to bite the bullet now and make all the money, all the resources available. And let's see in 3 years, what do you produce? And he likened it to like music. He was like, you know, if you consider the South African sound from a music perspective, because guys have been given the platform and they've gone to those markets, you are running the game right now. You know, the Black Coffees of the world are the biggest and the best. No competition. You know, the Uncle Waffles is mang mang. And I was like, where's the money then, my man? And he was like, no money here, my brother. I'm going back to America. You know what I mean? So they came all the way here, is my point. And it's like they were ready to work. There was complete teams that they could have worked with. But it's like we're just not there financially. Why is that?
I think it's because the investors are actually confused in terms of when I'm investing in film, where's my ROI, right?
Why do people not go and watch movies?
They don't understand it. They don't understand it. Look, in South Africa, we don't
watch... But we understood Avatar. Huh? Avatar was about blue people.
Did.
And then the human beings come and then the blue people... It's like, you know, it's
exactly.
like
and
a Native American type of retelling of the story.
Yeah, and that cost a couple of hectic dollar million.
I mean, the story was like rehashed, bro. Mm. So when you say they don't understand it, what do you mean they don't understand? Like the movie viewing public?
No. The investors, the guy who have the money,
right.
You know, the guys who have the millions. So if I'm going to them, I'm saying, I want to produce this really fantastic movie. He's going to say, where are you going to get my money back from? Right? Uh-huh. Because you have to make the money back. It's like any other product.
Yeah, but you're going to make it back from putting it in cinemas or what is it called? The platforms, video on demand platforms.
Showmax, etc.
There we go. So the money's going to come back there. I'm saying, is there not enough money coming back there?
That's the trick.
I think something I always think about is, I know Netflix is huge worldwide, but how many people are on Netflix in South Africa?
Very few.
You see, how many people are on Showmax? How many people are on Amazon Prime? How many people are on Disney?
Maybe let me explain to you how it works in the background.
Mm.
Yeah?
Okay.
You've got a show. You say to me, let's say you've got a movie, right? Nobisa, I want to produce this movie. Let's say I am a Netflix. Let me not talk about
the movie
about
is called The Adventures of Kojiro.
Away, I'm there. So you said to me,
please call the movie
The Adventures of Kojiro.
Kojiro, talk to me. I'm listening.
You come to me. You say, I've got this really great script. I'm working with PH, top writer in South Africa.
Nazog.
So I say, okay, fabulous, Waras. This is a really great script. Ne. I need you to show me that you can make this movie. This is a big budget movie, right? I'm
it
the
has
platform.
To be. The ne? Adventures of Kojiro.
I'm the platform. Yeah. So you'll say, okay, let me give me a proof of concept.
Okay.
Ne? Let's say if it's a series, I'll say, give me a pilot episode. Ne?
Okay.
You need to go find money to shoot the pilot
episode.
At my
cost. You're not
going to
give me
I'm
the
not going to give it
okay.
to you, right?
Make sure you're listening. Wait, now, Adventures of Kojiro.
Yeah.
Right.
You shoot your pilot, I might take it, I might not take it. Ne? So there are a couple of ways that they do it. You can license it, right? You have shot it, it's complete. Only once it is done, then I look
all
at it.
All the episodes.
Everything,
okay.
right? I say, oh, this is actually good. Then let's negotiate. How much do you want for this? You say, I want 4.5 million. I'm like, ha, yeah, lala baba. You know, nobody knows you. You don't have the numbers.
Yeah. And so Kojiro,
he might work, he might not work. So then.
It's definitely going to work though. But anyway.
You see, so when you had a funder who you had to go to in order to produce this thing.
At my cost.
You had to negotiate with your funder. Uguti, no, Unwabisa, who is platform X, is going to take this.
Unwabisa, who is open up the industry, is going to take this thing. At 4.5 million. And now my investor is thinking...
If you get a pre-sale, if I say, okay, Yasin, I like this.
Yeah.
Ne? If it goes good, I will take it. That's a pre-sale. But okay, we'll do this. The other way is that, Mnanditi, Waras, I'm looking for this type of show. Ne? I know that you produce these sorts of things. And that's where the open up the industry issue comes in, right? You know that the Fergusons are good at this. You know that these guys are good at this,
that's
right?
True,
you know that...
They've all got their niches that they kind of
stick
to,
right? So I'm saying I'm looking for these types of shows. Guys, come through, come pitch. Whereas you have never pitched before.
Adventures of Kojiro is not known.
You have never pitched before and you come to me and say, Nabisa, this is a fantastic story. But then I ask you, okay, how much is each episode going to cost? We're seeing so many shows now, right? Kuthi abantu haven't been paid. So the production has halted, right? So the budgeting on there, the management of the funds is not working.
All the stuff going on in the background, basically.
Exactly. So you've got a great idea, but I'm like, hey, Waras might not complete this in the budget, in the allocated time. So let me go to Ferguson because I know that she can do it. Mm. You know, she's tried and tested because I'm investing. I'm paying her 6 million.
Mm.
So the risk is lower than
because
if I go to
because she's a more credible Waras. Right.
But what I always recommend that filmmakers do, go and partner with somebody, you know. Ungafiki Waras no PH, you're brand new in the industry.
Adventures of Kojiro.
Exactly. But then if you say...
So you're saying go and partner with a Ferguson
no,
or someone.
Not necessarily a Ferguson, yeah. Right? You can say, oh, Unwabisa is a consultant. She's been in the industry so that when I ask you, Kuthi, but you don't have experience in this and this. Uthi, no, don't worry. I've got XYZ who used to work on blah, 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 who will actually help me with this element that I'm weak at. Because when you're a creative, but you need someone who's strong in the business of television. Does it make sense?
I get you, yeah. Don't try to do everything yourself because play to your strengths.
Exactly.
If you're the creative, create.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adventures of Kojiro, fantastic concept. Mm. But in order to sell it, to produce it, get other people that are good at those things.
Because the contracts, that's where people get tripped up. Mm. I'm taking Adventures of Kojiro and you are so excited. A lot of creatives, this is the one thing I wish, you know, we would talk more about. They don't read their contracts. Mm.
Yeah, because they want to get on.
Exactly.
Yes, people want to get on. They don't worry about the contract part. You see the same thing in music. We've spoken about it before on the show, is that at the point at which the offer is made, that person is so excited for the offer, they don't read who owns the masters and who does. You know, then by the time this thing has already gotten so far down the line, like Adventures of Kojiro now is a thing.
Yeah.
You are like, yo, I'm getting 4.5 million. And then it's like, no, but how? Because, you know, your partners have seen for this part and this part. That's the other thing.
The fine lines. You didn't read them.
They don't want to share that pie. Let's be honest. You know, people don't want it. They want to eat as much of the pie as they possibly can. And you might be partnering with someone who says, you know what, since I'm bringing all the, I'm the investor and I'm the producer, like you need my skills and my resources. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm taking 80% and you eat.
And a lot of creatives take it, ne?
Which is heartbreaking. But a lot of creatives also like have an ego thing where they're like, no, but it's my idea, it's my concept, it's my baby. Adventures of Kojiro is my thing.
I'd rather die with it.
I'd rather die with Adventures of Kojiro. And then the investor says, you know, I'm going to steal elements from Adventures of Kojiro and start one called Adventures of Nokwaja.
And then Unwabisa buys Adventures of Nokwaja for 2 million.
And now, when you eventually release Adventures of Kojiro, people are like,
you copied.
No Kwacha.
Exactly.
You check. No, Bisa, we can't win.
No, we can't. But I always suggest people go and ask someone.
Mm.
And Abantu in this industry, as much as people think that people in this industry are so not nice, there's a lot of really nice people, you know?
You just have to find them.
You just have to find them. Because, Uthi, you know what? I don't know what to do here, right?
Mm.
And people will say, look, maybe you have to pay me for this. Okay, no, look, this is where you go. Go to so-and-so. They will help you with this element.
When you say like coaches, because I know, I think this is part of your job as well, in terms of the channels. So what fits where? Mm. You look at, for example, if something is airing on, it's like you'd never see Carte Blanche on Moja Love.
Yeah.
Is that part of your, because I'm using Moja Love as an example, because a lot of the stuff I see on there, I'm just like, what the fuck?
But we love it, right?
That's the thing. People love that type of TV. Even me, I love it. You understand? I can complain about it, but I get why that's a show.
Yes.
And then at the same time, I'm also like, are we harming the game by having shows like We Are Jola? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because
which game are we harming?
Are we harming J Society?
Uh-huh.
We have a show about people cheating on people the exchanges are always very dramatic. You know, like, yeah, what informs the decision where it's like, no, we need to see this? And I'm not hating on Uya Jola. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, do your thing. Jola 99, all you like. My point is, I always think that after the people leave the scene of the Uya Jola confrontation, somebody gets moored. Like, you know, like, once the cameras are gone, that person stays behind in that community and, you know, does it always go smoothly? You know, like, are we really being responsible in the way we are conducting?
Look, not all the time, not all the time. But let me give you an example. Since we're tetenge Moja Love, right? When we started Moja Love, right? The brief was, we want a compliment to Mzansi Magic, something that celebrates black pride, black hair, how we dress.
And, was that the brief?
Yeah, that's why it's called Moja Love. And then I sat there and I listened to this. I'm like, yeah, but no one's going to watch that every day, you know?
Nah.
That's not interesting content.
Yes, you're
not
going to watch that. Content.
Not necessarily. You need exciting content. Stuff that makes you have an emotion, yes, right? It can make you cry. It can make you laugh. It can leave you shocked. That's what makes content.
You want to invoke those things.
Exactly,
yeah,
right?
Adventures of Gojira.
So then we had Pay Your Babgeld, ne? Where they would chase around guys,
yes,
who are not paying their
babgeld. Yeah,
yeah. So then my then bosses, they're like, hey, Nabisa, this is, hey. Like, no. We're uncomfortable with this. It's putting black people in a very negative
light, yeah,
you know? And the one was, they were white, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
And they didn't,
you know,
understand this pop culture.
I'm like,
concept.
Yeah, but like, this is the conversation that is happening in our communities. These are the issues that are happening,
yes,
in our communities. So then in order to be a responsible broadcaster, we brought in a talk show, right, to help people on that show. So that show was to say, like, if your baby daddy is not paying babgeld, this is what you do. Or counsel the people,
yes,
et cetera.
Tell them about things like family court.
Yes. Do you think people watch that show?
No, they watch the babgeld one.
Yeah. They watch babgeld and then they move on. Yeah.
Nobody cares.
No. Nope. So now.
Says a lot about society. But.
Exactly. So now think of it from a broadcaster's perspective, right? You're paying for the talk show. But mind you, people are saying, yeah, yeah, that's all good and well.
Yes, the talk show is coming at a cost to company, but no one's watching it.
Exactly.
They're watching the entertainment, the exciting stuff.
Yeah. So then as a business person, right, because we work with, it's a business.
It's a business.
Television
too.
Is a business. People think it's just entertainment. So you have to think, I want to be a responsible broadcaster. Do I keep making this talk show that's meant to inform people, but they clearly aren't listening, right? So you have to find other ways then to assist people. So then we'd assist them in the background to say, okay, you've gone through this. Do you need counseling? Do you need X, Y, Z? So outside of the cameras, because no one really wants to watch that. It's not entertaining.
Yes. So they still are provided with the counseling. It's just now not platform.
Yeah. Some who choose to, some they don't want it, you know, because they're like, get these cameras out of my face. I don't want to deal with you guys anymore. But there is that platform if you want to take it. So you have to balance being a responsible broadcaster, being an entertainer, and being a business person.
I see.
Yeah, well.
Hey, when we pick boss, we didn't think of all of that. We just thought, Ash, we also want to be on. Some people were so desperate to be on, they were cheating on their partners for nothing. Adventures of No Kwacha. Okay, then I read something interesting here in your bio, and I said I have to ask you about this. The UN Most Influential People of African Descent. You were in the global 100 under 40 list. What is that now, a continent thing?
Global.
Global as in the world.
Yes.
Talk to me about that accolade.
My thing, right, is that I'm passionate about upskilling filmmakers,
yes,
about upskilling young people. So I was out in South Africa, the rest of Africa, training young people, just doing my thing. And then these people said, oh, Nwabisa, we see you. We see what you're doing. We see the influence that you have in the industry and how you're investing in young people in the industry. And I got recognized and they said, but
we
it's
see a, you.
Yeah, we see you. We see you. Kylian Mbappe is on that list.
Cheers.
just to put it in there. But I always say that I don't really like awards because there's such a big responsibility.
Mm. To live up to the title now that you've
Exactly. And to be called an influential person. You'll see that on my Instagram, there's zero posts. I'm not an influencer, you know. But what this guy said to me, which was so important, is that influence is not about the followers you have, right? It's about the people who, in the background, can make the needles move. That
It's about the influence that you have, the impact, rather, that you have.
Impact.
Even if
I
it's behind
word.
The scenes.
Correct.
Because basically all of what you've told me here today, it's like I'm saying, the last conversation I had of this nature was purely because, you know, there was people that were bodyguarding that happened to be here for that. And as someone who's in the industry, I'd never even thought about that side of the business. And an American comes here and his opinion of what we do here is basically like, ah, these ones are playing. There's no money. They're never going to get. If you're scared to spend money, you're never going to see. You understand? Whereas here's Nwabisa, you've been working tirelessly behind the scenes all these years to get it to where it is. And in all honesty, a lot of the stuff that we do put out is on par with international. You know, when and if the investor says yes, I honestly think we deliver.
Yeah.
You know, series and movies.
And if you think about it, Waraz, is that the stuff we deliver, we have a fraction of the equipment they have.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, and the resources they have.
Yeah,
I mean, some of the shit they're doing that side is like mind-boggling. I actually, we were at an awards this past weekend. Advertising Industry Awards, right? The Lurie's. And shout out to the Lurie's. It was dope. We didn't win, but anyway, we were nominated. And
that's a win?
Yeah, it's a win. And, you know, when you're nominated and you don't win, you bump into other people there that are like, hey, Nwabisa, you're here. And you're like, what? No, we were nominated for the Best Tech and Innovation. What? You know? And then they're like, oh, you know what? Being nominated is a big deal on its own.
It is.
That's like participation trophy.
It is.
Hamburger. No, that's how I was feeling because it's my first time. I've attended before as a DJ. I've attended before as a guest.
Mm.
But I've never been nominated and sat there waiting for my category to be read out with my team. Mm. Yeah, we're excited, you know. But while I was sitting there and watching what's going on the screen, it incorporates Africa and the Middle East. So you've got some adverts and whatever campaigns from here where they're like, Nwabisa for the Adventures of Nokwacha advert. Adventures of Nokwacha. Nai Isuzu Yakibela Lapana 4x4, right? And then it's like, Waras for Adventures of Kochiro. There's Kochiro there doing his thing, Kochiroizing. And then they're like, BMW in the Middle East for the, I think it was called the iHack campaign.
Okay.
Yo, dude. Then they show this advert, Nwabisa, and you're sitting there and you're like, wow, what the fuck? So when they say the winner is BMW UAE, it's like, obviously they're the winner, bro. Like, did you see that advert? You know? I kind of felt like, not that they were in our category, I'm just using one of the many examples, is that as soon as we incorporate that region and what that region is doing, and now we are sitting at the same awards, nominated for the same thing with South Africans, bro, they are on another level in terms of the end product that they're delivering, right? That iJack thing that they showed there, that was a movie on its own. Basically, it was a thing, they parked BMWs in these you know, the charging stations.
Yeah.
So around Dubai, there's 300 charging stations. Mm. And what BMW did is they parked a BMW in each and every one. So when you, as Nwabisa, are leaving your house, accommodation, hotel, and you're like, Esh, where can I charge my car? Where's the closest charging station? It brings it up on your Google Maps, and there's a BM parked in it. So everybody that was searching for charging stations was seeing a BMW. And then people started talking about it. And next thing it was on TikTok. And next thing it was trending. And next thing you see. And then they show how the numbers went up. But the way that this thing was packaged, shot, filmed, put together, conceptualized, I was just like, why the fuck are other people even nominated? Because they're on a resource level that we cannot compare to.
But what I'm saying is that whereas they saw that and they said, you guys are on the same level.
That's the thing.
That's for me what I'm hearing.
Are we?
You are.
Ah, we are not. Yes, they saw that and they were like, you guys are in the same level. It wasn't us. This wasn't in our category. Let me be clear. Yeah. But the level that they are on in the Middle East, if we've got budgets of 10 million, like the example we were making, they've got budgets of 100 million.
Yeah.
So when you're competing with 10 million, with a 100 million guy, I don't care how creative you are. When you are competing in the movie game and film with Marvel Studios, I don't care if you are a District 9 or Avatar. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You are now like, you are outclassed.
Competing
you
from the back foot.
Yes, exactly. Majorly on the back foot.
Yeah.
And then it's like, how long is it going to take us to make the progress we need to make if we want to compete globally? That I view this podcast as that. In that, you know, podcasting, because it's an internet-based platform and it's the new form of content that we're putting out as an alternative to TV, radio, whatever. We are competing globally because it's the internet. The internet is not SABC. The internet is not multi-choice. You get what I mean? The internet is
now open for everyone.
Thank you. How the hell, Nwabisa, tell us what in the background do we need to do? Where are we going to find this money? Or what is it that we need? Is it money? Is it the cameras? Is it what do we need?
We need people, right, who can show us how to make a $10 million film on a $1 million budget. And they do it all the time.
That's an interesting one.
They do it
so
all
we don't
the
need
time.
The 10 million.
You don't need the 10
we
million.
We need the skills to
you
make
the
million.
The skills that were there in the 10 million, but ufike uthi kubaba, look, my guy, I don't have this and this.
Yeah.
Right? But how can we make it work? I want it to look like that. What you need is a skills transfer. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, when I started working in the rest of Africa, right? I'd always worked in South Africa, and I know how things work here. Going to Malawi, right, to launch this channel in Malawi, I see this guy with a van, you know, Isuzu, old school Isuzu.
No kwacha, baba. No kwacha.
And these guys are dismembering the Isuzu, and they are actually creating an OB van. An outside broadcast van. You know the Super Sport.
I know the OB
exactly,
vans.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right?
Super Sport, SABC.
And I sat there mesmerized. Day one, it was an Isuzu. Day three, that thing was fully kitted out and it was an Isuzu. It was an OB van.
OB van.
And these are old men just using their skills to take what they've got to create something that they want, that they cannot afford otherwise.
Make a plan.
You make a plan. So I think that when you...
You're saying that would be the quickest way for us to get there. Is we need the skill set to...
We don't need the equipment. The equipment is a nice to have, right?
Oh, and the equipment, you know, I'll tell you something about equipment. Because a lot of, especially like since we started this, I actually tweeted the other day. I just wanted to see where's the sentiment. But I was like, I'm looking for talented videographers and editors. And then I made some snarky comment just to see the responses, right? And I got a lot of responses. Some of them I DM'd. And in the conversations, what they lead with is they lead with, I've got A7S Sony and my bra has got a red dragon. And you understand? They come with the equipment sell. And what I'll tell you about equipment, because I've seen it with people I've worked with over the years, is some people haven't got the best equipment, but what magic they make with that equipment, because they are so skilled.
It is the skill.
Chalk and cheese. You can have somebody with all the best equipment and the stuff they produce is cuck.
Yeah.
Because skills. Mm. Yeah.
Because you could take this camera, right?
No, these cameras are whack.
Yeah, but the person behind it.
Look, he's also whack. We are born.
It is the person behind the camera, because otherwise I could take an iPhone and I could show you flames.
No, 100%.
Versus your Sony, right?
There's a video I saw as well. I'll find it, man, and hopefully we can add it. But the whole thing is, it was shot on iPhones, right? With, I don't know what app they downloaded. It was like an advert for the app, I assume.
Yeah.
At UFC. But yo, like, you know, when they show the finished product, you're just like, yes, what do you mean iPhone? You know, so it's almost like they make up for in skills what they lack in equipment.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Correct.
They've shot this thing and they've edited it in such a way that it's like, this is what we produce. And that's really, I think, that's the best way to get noticed. Yeah. You know, if the OB van guys with the Nokwacha, the Isuzu, versus the guys with the Supersport OB van produce the same thing, I'm going to go with the Isuzu guys because I'm like, yes, you guys can make something out of nothing. You know?
And they work three times harder. There are no people that work harder.
Of course, they're Malawians. Of course, they're full up. Yeah,
no, I'm saying filmmakers in general. And yes, Malawians do work very hard. But yes, you were right, the other issue.
Allegedly. Don't say that. No. Cut Nobiso's spot out. They're going to say I'm xenophobic, but it's fine.
I suck.
They mustn't say you're xenophobic.
We are not xenophobic. Mm. But if you look at doctors, ne? When you want to specialize, doctors go for conferences.
Yeah.
They go, they upskill themselves. But we as filmmakers here in Africa, if I've been doing camera since, ne? I'm not going to go on a course to go and upskill myself. Ngoba. Right?
Yeah, I've been doing this. Yeah.
Exactly. But you've been doing it since 10 years ago. Mm. So we enter into from 10 years ago constantly. Why aren't you going to do courses that upskill you?
Mm.
I don't know why filmmakers don't do that. You know, go and learn tricks. Man, I saw that shot. Mm. How did you do it?
Yeah.
That is what we need.
I think if you spend enough time, especially like for the younger ones, you know, like up and coming filmmakers, up and coming videographers. Go and watch YouTube videos. I swear, that's what we do here, believe it or not. And we also just puzzling along. Is that you go and you upskill yourself and say, okay, well, how did this other guy do this? I personally watch a lot of the UFC stuff. I think something that the UFC seems to allow is there's obviously the official UFC channels and the stuff that they shoot because they are an entire production on their own. And they allow a lot of like aspiring filmmakers and videographers to be there and make their own content. You find it's all over the place. Mm. A lot of like American football as well, because there's different tiers. It's like we could have the same thing, but we don't in our rugby. You've got high school football, college football, NFL. NFL is obviously the Premier League. Mm. But go and look at what they're doing at the college league and at the high school league. The type of content that they are putting together for, they're creating superstars on the internet where you have your own movie, but you are in matric. We don't have something similar here where I'm using rugby as an example because our high school to our varsity and then obviously our professional rugby, best in the world.
Yeah.
All we see is the professional side. Stuff that's done for the Springboks is fantastic to a certain degree as well. Maybe our club rugby, but not as high. You know what I mean? And it's like, are they putting the budgets towards it? You know? There's an idea for free. If you're an aspiring videographer, I'd approach a team and I'd be like, yo, I want to come and film. I'm going to come with my guys and we're going to make the most shit-hot content. Watch what happens.
And it's for them to use.
Yes.
Right?
Use, don't use. And as you say, if you're prepared to share the skill to prove the concept, you know, you're not going to get paid off the bat. But I promise you, if you make something exceptional, there's plenty of budget there that can be released to you.
Yeah. You know? Because now that risk of can they deliver or not is gone because I've seen your work. I've seen your quality.
Yes. So and we need more of that stuff. Otherwise, we're just going to have to continue watching people cheat on each other. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Content has to come from somewhere, you know? And I feel like we underutilize a lot of things that we have that are really fucking cool, like rugby, like friend of mine, he's a boxing coach. They won this past weekend. One of his fighters, Chiki Kamalaki, but they were in Japan. Fought for the world title. Lighty won.
He's now the world champion.
But it exists on Shannon's Instagram, is my
point.
That's it. Like, that's where I saw it. Then when I sort of like dug deeper, it was on Top Rank Boxing. Now that's good because Top Rank has got like 3 million followers and it's a globally recognized. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But somebody should be following this young man. Somebody should be
documenting.
You understand? His name is Nang Uphumelele. Yeah.
Pumelele. Is it the one that Mackenzie posted about?
This guy. The one that Mackenzie, I think Mackenzie also posted about. I'll share it with you, Wandi. But shout out to Uphumelele Kafu. Basically,
shout
he won his
Pumelele.
Fight. And he's now the world champion. And shout out to Shannon Stradom. He's my friend. He's his coach. And I was like, you know, when you've got talent is very rare. So when you've got talent, you almost need to maximize on how much exposure that talent gets.
And even your friend, Shannon, he's a story on his own. How do you coach world champion?
You understand?
Yeah, but
and his father before him was a boxing coach, is a boxing coach. They're like a coaching dynasty, if you will. We've got another world champ, Kevin
Should
Darina.
Should we go into filmmaking together? What else? Can you see the
example,
ideas
we're
spitting here?
Like, these are things that I just feel like they're not. When the Americans do it for their, think about it. Think about American boxers. Mm-hmm. There's no real. We're in the same rankings. We're in the same weight classes, and we're fighting for the same belts. But if you go on like a Gervonta Davis or Errol Spence Jr.'s page, man, like next level, just in terms of the production quality. And it's because they've got people like, till today, I actually didn't realize how to put it in words, but it's because there's people there that are prepared to set aside money and bring skills as like a proof of concept thing. It's like, I'm going to back this guy and I'm going to make this content and eventually someone is going to see it. And then I'll get paid.
You get your money.
Thank you. And from my videographer tweets, I can tell you now, Nobisa, they want to get paid first.
Yes.
You're like, no, nigga. And then people are like, this is another example of someone trying to exploit young people. I feel South Africans think like that. I'm not trying to exploit anyone. I was just really just testing the waters. Mm. But the overarching sentiment I was getting is like the 4.5 million thing. I want 4.5 million. No, nigga, I'm not giving you 4.5.
And you know the other problem is, they see you, they're like, waras nemal.
You see.
You know?
Goopy.
Exactly.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So I deserve to be paid XYZ because waras nemal.
Mm.
So, and then they don't realize that they've closed themselves off to an opportunity that could have then gotten them to a bigger platform.
Thank you.
But Asitukuti do work for free all the time. We know you have to buy food. Albany doesn't take,
doesn't take exposure.
Goodwill and exposure. School fees, that's better, like
we
exposure.
We have to find a happy medium. Because,
correct.
Like, as you say, you know, like, you've got to, I mean, a good example is that American that came here with his, like, when you hear his story and his journey of how he started, now he's got money like dust.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He can come here and he can have a holiday, a fantastic holiday. Mm-hmm. And he's a senior executive in what he does. But when he started 20 years ago, he was saying, like, how he would bounce around Hollywood and he would be like, yo, you guys are shooting this or this production is happening. This is who I am. This is what I do. Let me come through. And he's like, you're living in your car, my man. But you've got to get it done so that you can show people that proof of concept to say, this is what I can do. Then you get a shot.
Yeah. And I always tell the young people, they like saying, I went to study in AFTA, you know, or I graduated from the Multi-Choice Talent Factory. Mm. I'm a director. I'm like, you're a director. Who are you going to direct?
Mm.
You have zero experience. What? Exactly, right? You have to be willing to be a runner on a production set.
Yes, even if you've got a director qualification.
I've studied, you know. I know how to do the lights. I know, you know, I could be a gaffer. My first job was putting tape on the floor.
Yes.
You know? And that's what you do. The whole production. That's what you do. You're putting tape on the floor. Unless you are willing to do the groundwork, no one's going to give you 2 million to say, yes, beautiful director with no skill set.
No one's going to put you on the Mail and Guardian 200. How do I get on there? What is it, 30 under 30?
Mail and Guardian top 200 young South Africans.
Putting tape on the floor, that's how.
Exactly, it was.
People only want the glamour part. Like Mausuila's number, Adventures of No Kwacha is now in cinemas. No, dude. No Kwacha started there with the Isuzu and the OB van.
Yeah. Mm. So Million Guardian, how did I get that? Oh, I was managing channels. I was managing BET.
Well, you still had multi-choices.
Yeah. Okay. I was managing BET and Cartoon Network, Food Network.
Yes.
Back then. But people will say, you're managing such big brands, but they don't see Uguti. I studied at MultiChoice as an intern.
Mm. Putting tape on the floor.
Exactly, right? And one of the things they once gave me, I remember as an intern, they gave me this spreadsheet, long spreadsheet. Man, Nobisa, call all of these channels, the technical guys, make sure the details are updated, right? over hundreds of channels. And I'd worked at a call center after matric. I couldn't afford to go to varsity, so I worked a Ackerman's call center. Mm. You know, you want to open an account, ma'am?
Don't worry, I worked at Greyhound call center. Yeah. Like, funi pasi suga api ap. Emelo. To Paul Peter's bag.
So I was there calling all of these channels, and I had to call channels in Spain, in Portugal, and I didn't speak a word of Spanish or Portuguese. So I'd go on to Google Translate. Ne?
To get your message across.
Yeah, yeah, and I would write there, you know, do you speak English? Você fala inglês, madame?
Yeah.
And then they'd say, oui, oui, you know, or whatever. Now I'm speaking French. So they'd say yes, and I would put it on Google Translate.
Oui, oui, si, si, it's fine.
And I'd tell them what I need, and I'd tell them what I need through Google Translate. And then your bosses start to see, oh, okay, this one has a unique way of working. She can find
solutions. She shows
initiative. Exactly. Correct. And then Umtu, there was someone who said that they thought my dad was, you know, an executive, a multi-choice. And Utatam was Lele Eastern Cape drinking a Black Label shame.
They thought somebody plugged you.
Exactly. Mm. And they didn't see the groundwork I had done. Mm. And then they're like, how? But how did you get here? Yeah, well, so people see the fancy titles, they see the accolades, they don't see what it takes you to get to the accolades.
To that level.
Exactly.
Yeah. But do you find, because obviously you've traveled Africa and you've looked, at least let's say under multi-choice, you were in different regions in Africa trying to see what filmmakers in those regions and, you know, those with the hunger were prepared to do. You've already told us in Malawi they rebuilt Isuzus. Do you find that elsewhere in Africa, people are more willing, more hungry to go after those opportunities and they're not saying, pay me first?
Yeah.
Like I find that South Africans are very much like that. Yes. Sorry, guys, it is what it is. Yes, you do get those that are prepared, the Nwabisas of the world. But by and large, not, you know, everybody wants a plug. Is other places in Africa similar, or are they leading the way in terms of their willingness to chase the skill before they chase the money?
Nigeria.
Mm. Those ones don't play.
Nigerians would make a movie for you in 2 days. Mm?
But then it's the movies that play on Africa Magic. I can make a movie like that in 3 hours.
Like, but
I'll make it on my phone. So be like,
but
Amos, you have
the
an
hunger.
STD. Yeah, be like, Amos, you have an STD. Yes, I have an STD. The movie's over. This movie's a whack, though.
But what else? Do you know how people love watching those things?
Yes,
right? It's the entertainment value.
Extremely.
Exactly.
Yes, extremely
so Tina, we're saying if it's not glamorous and polished, and this we answer, but people actually sometimes don't always want glamorous and polished.
True. They want entertainment.
They want, thank you.
Look, and you know, Nigerians, listen, they take a lot of shit. They get a lot of shit. They are a very persecuted bunch, unfortunately. Like with every nation, every country on earth, there's bad apples and there's good apples. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying, I watched a documentary on Silicon Valley and how they use Nigerian software engineers and programmers and code writers. And, you know, computers isn't my thing, but it's their thing. The same thing that a Nigerian can do for $4,000, an American is doing for $20,000. So what's happening is they're outsourcing a lot of what they need done to Nigerians, and they sort of go into where these Nigerians are. And this bra is sitting in like an internet cafe there with 20 other guys. And for that 4,000, he's got to share that 4,000 with 10 other oaks type of thing. But that's the work he's prepared to do. And essentially the documentary is alluding to, if this guy was living in Los Angeles and doing what he was doing, he'd be getting $20,000 a year himself.
Yeah.
But because he's in Nigeria and he's prepared to do the work, they are sending him the work. And he'd rather be there sharing the 4,000 with 10 other people. Mm-hmm. They have like a work ethic that I think we can't ignore. Whether it's making movies or software development or selling drugs by a pusher. Shout out Niger. Whether it's fraud.
They will make it happen. That's the thing about Nigerians. You'd be like, guys, what are we going to? And they will say, they'll make it happen.
Yeah.
That's the thing I love about it.
But their film industry is much bigger than ours.
Very
obviously.
Big.
Yeah.
Massive.
Nollywood.
But it's bigger in terms of the quantity
That they put out.
Producing.
I see.
Exactly.
I see.
Right.
But they've also got, I mean, like in terms of audience numbers as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like 200 million people or something in Nigeria.
It's a big country.
Massive,
It's a big country. It's a varied country. So, but these guys will push and they'll make a lot and a lot of stuff. And the thing about Nigerians is that they support Nigerians. They'll watch Nigerian content.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, they'll watch Nigerian content. And they'll push each other's content.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They push each other's content, which I think is something that here we need to start building.
Mm.
I don't know when was the last time you went to the cinema to watch a South African movie. I haven't been to a long time.
I think the last was Yo.
Yeah, bro.
You know what's the cinema in Rosebank? That other one, not the mainstream one. I think is it not Cinema Nouveau?
Cinema Nouveau. Mm.
Cinema Nouveau. I went there to watch a movie by Kagiso Lediga. What movie was it? With Pearl in it. I don't remember the name of it. I think. That's the last.
You see?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Which is not, hey, I'm not the guy. I'm not a role model. But I know that people will need to watch more movies. We'll have to go out and support
And that's
more.
How we'll then make that ROI that investors are looking for. And it's not about, I'll only go watch Wara's movie if it's good. Just go watch because it's Wara's who made the movie.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Whether it's crap or not, just go.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it is what? How much is a movie ticket these days? It's $100.
The Adventures of Gojiro might be cack. But I'm going to Gojiro, my friend.
So that's the only way in which we make the industry better, by paying.
That's the thing about South Africans. Like, somebody will drop something and people will be like, this thing is whack.
We'll like your trailer. That's as far as we go.
That is,
for me, I think, Bana, that's the biggest thing we need to fix.
Yeah.
Because then, but so-and-so, Kagiso produced that movie and it made what? How much money did it make?
Yes, and how much money did it cost?
Exactly.
Because that's...
Exactly.
From speaking to people who make movies, that's where the problem comes in, is that it costs a fortune, 3-4 million rand, and then you've got to turn that money in the box office, you know?
Yeah.
So from an like you say, it's a business. So from an ROI perspective, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Have you been watching, it's off the point, but on the point, I don't know if you've been following what's happening in the, you know, the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
So you know the WNBA?
Yes, the women's.
The women's one, right?
Love
I don't know
women.
If you've been following what's happening recently with Caitlin Clark.
No.
So the WNBA is obviously the women's basketball league. It's pretty shit in terms of, like, it's not the best in terms of... not the most skilled players, because you can't expect that everybody is on the level that the superstars are on. So you have these breakout players in some teams that are really, really good, and then some are like super mediocre. And as a result, women's basketball is obviously not supported as well as men's basketball. Goes without saying. Most women's sports don't get the level and the type of support that the men's alternative get. And recently, this player named Caitlin Clark has come into the WNBA, and she is fucking brilliant. Caitlin Clark could essentially be playing with the men, and she'd be killing it. She's really, really good. And what it's done is it's spiked everything. The numbers have gone up phenomenally. There's more interest in women's basketball as a whole. From one woman. The problem is she's white and she's not a lesbian.
Aye.
So she's... You understand? She doesn't fit the PC narrative, unfortunately, that America is obsessed with.
Yeah.
And recently, obviously, because there's a lot of backlash for that nonsense, most level-headed pundits have been saying, yo, what is up with the WNBA ignoring the fact that Caitlin Clark is fucking brilliant?
Mm.
She's scoring the most points. She's performing the best. She deserves things like Rookie of the Year, MVP, you know, the awards.
Yeah, yeah.
She did a deal with Nike for something like 20 million or whatever, like a massive sum of money, unheard of. Again, because the WNBA has never, ever hit NBA numbers.
Mm.
And you know the story. Because it's a business, numbers count. Where if 200 people are watching the games, you know, investment is not going to fly to that league. In there. Now, because it's this one player, it is essentially the shining star, they're building a whole model around Caitlin Clark. It is bringing so much attention to the industry as a whole. This is a good thing. They are kind of coming around now. As I say, like in the beginning, they were just like not feeling her because she doesn't fit the narrative. But she's almost so good, she just can't be ignored anymore. And it took that one player, in my opinion, to turn the whole thing around. Now more people are supporting the WNBA. More people are watching. More business is coming. More investment.
It's Everybody's like a ripple effect.
It's a ripple effect. It's a ripple effect. And that, if you take that as like a case study, or even like the Nigerian film industry or the Indian film industry as a case, make the stuff, make it brilliant. The more you make like the Nigerians, the better you're going to get at it.
Yeah.
You know, like in the beginning, the stuff is going to be whack. Just watch it. Just fucking support it. Doesn't matter. The more you watch, the more you support, eventually it's just going to get better and better. And we're going to actually get somewhere.
And also, for me, my biggest issue is that we don't watch it and then we expect other people to watch it.
That's the thing. That's actually, that's what they were saying. One of these commentators was saying in the women's sports discussion. He was like, you don't watch. Yeah. But you are complaining that other people don't watch. But you yourself don't watch. Like, take the time and actually watch.
Exactly.
You know? We had a, you know, we had, for example, we had the female, the Springbok rugby female, team. The female one, the woman.
We didn't watch it.
We didn't watch it, but they are fucking good. They're really good. No one was watching.
But you see, what I think with the rugby, the women's rugby, they're failing to give us a star.
That's the thing. Yeah, you need like that
you
star.
You need a CEO, Kolisi. You need someone that we're going to celebrate
point.
Over.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Like you need a Caitlin Clark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sport is also a story. It's also a story. Yes. You need someone who you're going to feel passionate about. You can't just give me a team. Okay,
yeah,
what about now?
Like support them because they're wearing Springbok jerseys.
Who am I supporting? Yeah. You know?
And you know, what they do there as well, interestingly, is what sustained that league. As I say, when you actually watch the games, they are pop, dude. They miss shots. They're not the best. But you'll get a player like Angel Reese. She's hot. So what they do is they give you the whole other story of Angel Reese outside of the basketball court. Oh, look at her look today, fashionista. She's so hot. Look at the palms, whatever. The point is it brings a lot of popularity to that player, even though they might not be the best player.
Yeah.
We don't have that where we do have it with like the Siya Kolisis, the Cheslin Kolbys, the Eben Etzebeths.
Exactly.
We do all of this lifestyle stuff about the player, which it kind of like endears the viewer to. With our movies, I can't think of a single movie star that we have.
We don't endear.
Other than the guy who was the mummy. Mambo.
Oh, yes.
Ah, the mummy. Arnold Vosloo.
Because people want people they can relate to, right? Usiya Kolisi, a guy from PE, you know, Eqebega. You know, exactly. And now he's a big star. And if you think about it, Siya Kolisi, before he was Siya Kolisi, he wasn't handsome. But Ngoku, all of a sudden, I'm man ngati kind of shine. It's like,
that's not the narrative I've seen online. Siya Kolisi is a hunk.
Like before, like, I'm man bandona. But now, that he's a superstar.
Man ila chep. Before and after.
Exactly. Mm. So you need, I always think that in...
See, are you handsome, brother? Me, I'll move with you anywhere, dog. I'll go on any two-on-two mission with you. I'm sorry, Rachel.
If we're a chatanga, But anyway, like in cricket, you know, where is our star in cricket?
It used to be AB de Villiers.
Exactly.
Yeah, but now I don't know who since.
And that's the marketing guy's job, to create the stories.
Yes,
so that siyambe, siyobukela ubavuma. I don't, like, you know.
Yeah. Create the story, because that in itself is like, that's content.
Exactly.
And it's entertainment, and it's what people want to see. Like earlier when I was mentioning, like, for example, the UFC, is those, if you look at, again, like, you know, I'm not hating on them, but if you look at their roster, there'll be 10 fights on a night, okay? And out of those 10 fights, you as the viewer, you know four of those superstars.
Yes.
You know, like, not even four, maybe two, sometimes one. Where there's a Conor McGregor who's part of that lineup of 10 fights. Bro, they will sell that entire arena on that one guy, that one fight. Never mind the other nine fights. But then it gives the opportunity to the other 18 fighters, or let's say the other nine fights, whoever's in them, win or lose,
yeah,
to say, thanks to Conor McGregor, who is the movie star, the staring, the person that we've built this whole thing around, I'm now going to get a chance to fight in front of 50,000 people and flipping 2 billion viewers around the world. I mustn't fuck it up. And that's how new stars are born. And you've
got... Do you
know
another example?
Yeah.
That most of us will be familiar with, yes. WWE.
Bro.
Right? Hulk Hogan, before he was a movie star, yes. Right? He was the only celebrity
on WWE. Exactly. I saw that as well.
And then all the others
came around
after,
the country just with him.
Just with Hulk Hogan. And they built a massive, massive multi-billion dollar company with one star. You just need one star.
Then he was followed by The Rock and Stone Cold Steve and Undertaker.
It's like Ngogo, you know? Sia, and then it's Sia and Itzbin, right?
It's a bit, yeah.
Yeah, Itzbin. And then together, they're a package. And then we have more stars and more stars. You just need one. Like for me, like cricket, I watch cricket and I'm like, only if you could just get a storyteller at CSA to say, guys, we need to tell the story better.
Yes.
Because we're a great team. Proteas, guys, they're a fabulous team. They just need
a Ronaldo.
A story. Mm. One story. And then you'll see people will come.
No, Abisa, you are a star. You are staring. Thank you for dropping knowledge today. What can we check out? So now, what are you doing now? You have your own consultancy. You please come and work here because, these ones that I work with here.
Yeah, I saw.
You saw how I'm struggling, dog. And I'm the one star. I'm the star, but they're not building me.
You already built Waras.
Don't be able to be a star.
They won't be able to afford you if you grow bigger.
Give me more water. Look, they give me one cup of water. Before I had this cup, I had that metal one in Komish. Imagine. When Amos.
They wanted you to stay humble. Don't forget where you come from.
So what can we check out from you?
Look, I am not a public figure.
Yeah.
You know? Don't follow me on Instagram. There's nothing to follow. There are no posts to follow. I'm busy working on some clients across the continent, which is my passion.
Making stars.
Yeah, making stars, making stars, helping people with their TV channels, you know. And what I'm finding is that businesses, you know, they're saying, Nwabisa, help us to tell our story, which is a very interesting...
Dynamic,
you know. And you're working with people who are not creatives and you're like, yeah, but I want to make this yellow. They're like, but our colors are blue and black. I'm like, yeah, but that's boring.
Mm.
So it's a new phase that I'm in and I'm still finding my feet, but I'm really excited about it. So yeah, and my company, we're going to have some master classes coming up online for free so that you can so that you can upskill you know, cuz for me it's a real passion of mine. I've got some friends from the US, from the UK who have been saying, Nwabisa, we want to do master classes again. So yeah, that's what you can look forward to.
Okay.
And
good.
Yeah.
Guys, that's us. You know the story. Like, subscribe, comment, do your thing. Make sure to follow us on all the socials. The Shady Podcast, The Real Network. We're out of here. Back again next week. Same time, same place. Take it easy. And if it's easy, take it home. Now let's talk about Adventures of Gucci.